Father, we want to thank you that we have this opportunity to come before your throne. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We come before your throne, Father, knowing that you will indeed stretch forth thy scepter of your hand.
Amen.
Or to a people who desire to know you, who are willing to submit to you, who are moving in their aspirations and desires, but Father, motivated by the Holy Spirit to grasp the hem of your garment. Father, that virtue might flow forth out of you unto us. And Father, that it might not just heal our bodies, but Father, it will heal our soul. It will bring deliverance and restoration. It will bring restitution. Father, we pray that it will bring the reality of your presence to our conscious mind. Father, that you will no longer be something of our imagination, but you will be the reality of a personality. That which, Father, you want to impart to us, to incorporate us in that personality. So, Father, we just submit our hearts to you this morning.
Yes.
We submit our minds. We submit our desires. We submit our emotions. And, Father, we acquiesce our will unto your hand, that you might shape us, that you might mold us, that you might make us into that entity, into that personality that conforms with the name that is in your heart concerning each and every one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Is that the best you can do? Jeepers, creepers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I started something yesterday, and I kind of want to finish it up today, if I may. Praise the Lord. I hope we have the spiritual strength to press in, to press through, in spite of all of the distractions that may arise. Praise the Lord. And yesterday, I was talking about eternity, which has no beginning. It has no end. I think we all agree with that. I hope we all agree with that, right? That's the basic concept of the Father. Hallelujah. He has no beginning. He has no end. So there is really no reason for him, per se, as far as he is concerned, and I want to address him as far as the Elohim is concerned. Elohim incorporates the whole totality of God. Not only does it incorporate the idea of the personalities or the entities of God, but it also includes the character of God. The characteristics of God, that which makes up Elohim, that is the omni quality, hallelujah, that is the DNA substance that makes up the aspect of who and what he is. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he wanted to create us in his image. So I don't know how you view that. I don't know how you look at that. Hallelujah. But God, the Father, has no image. Hallelujah. He is a spirit. It says, they that worship the Father must worship him how?
Spirit.
In spirit and in truth. Oftentimes we talk about the spirit, but we leave out the truth. Hallelujah. But both ingredients are quite necessary concerning our position of relationship. So when he talks about the image, What is he really referring to? How is it that we can relate to the fact that we are to be made into this particular form or fashion in a particular manner or way? Well, the Bible is quite clear as to the image of the Father. The image of the Father, it talks about him. It says that the Father sees. Hello? Hallelujah. So the Father, when the creating of Adam and making that form in the dust, poked two holes in the face of it, and he made eyes. Hallelujah. The Father smells. Hallelujah. The Father smells. So the Father took a hunk of dirt or a hunk of clay and formed a nose upon the just right below the two eyes. Hallelujah. The Father speaks. Hallelujah. So he gave you a mouth. Hallelujah. And that's something we ought to really consider. If the Father gave you a mouth, you should use it as the Father wants you to use it. Not as you choose or please to use it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, there is something, the mechanics behind all of that. I'm just talking about the surface value of it. The surface superficial value. But how about the nerves and all of the apparatus that is attached to the eyes and the apparatus that are attached to the ears and to the nose, and that somehow they are all connected in some way or another to the brain. So the Father thinks. Hallelujah. And it says that the Father has feet because he what? He walks. Huh? Where does he walk? Hallelujah. To and fro. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that the Father has a strong right arm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he gave us arms. Hallelujah. It says that the Father feels. So he has emotions. It says that the Father desires. So in all of the aspects of what the Father is, as far as the Spirit is concerned, is manifested in the human form in which he created to be in his image. But you know, he really didn't stop there. And I'm not just talking about the surface value. I'm talking about the quality and the reality of the internal aspect of who, how all that apparatus works together. Hallelujah. But he didn't stop there. The Father, we are told, is a triunity of personalities. Hallelujah. He has a Father personality. He has a Son personality. Hallelujah. And he has a Holy Spirit personality. And really, that is not too difficult for us to understand if we really think about it. Hallelujah. Then all of these things are mixed up in the aspect of the Father's DNA. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am a son. That means I have a father and a mother, and I was born a son to them. And if they were still alive, I would still be a son. And even if they are dead, for me, I'm still their son. Hallelujah. I will always be their son. Hallelujah. And they only know me in my son capacity. You understand. I grew up in their house. They taught me different things. And I do some things because of what they taught me and because of who I am and because I am related to them. Hallelujah. There is that manifestation of familiarity, which we're trying to get ourselves rid of, but nevertheless, it's still there, working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in that capacity, I'm a son. I will always be a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that son grew up, and he became a husband. Hello? Hallelujah. So, I'm still a son, but now I'm a father. I'm a husband. Hallelujah. And my wife will always know me as a husband. She will never know me as a son. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter how you try to manipulate it, I will always be a husband and never a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could make a comment there, but I will just leave it there. Hallelujah. So I'm really two personalities. My parents will never know me as a husband. They will never know the quality of relationship in that respect. They have their own relationship, but as far as I am concerned, they will never know me in that capacity. They can see me perform, they can see me act, and they might be able to describe it or to explain it to someone. But in that kind of, I am still a husband. I am a son, and they're two different entities. They're two different relationships. They're two different experiences. And if I am a husband, I can also be a father. Hallelujah. And my children will never know me as a husband or a son. Now I can share with them my experience of a husband. I can share with them my experience of a son, and hoping that what I am sharing with them, it can entice them and encourage them in their relationship. But I am a father to them. They will always know me as a father. Well, at least I hope they will always know me as a father. Hallelujah. So I am really a triunity of personalities. But those personalities are all connected by one aspect, one thought. They are connected by virtue of blood. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the reasons why the Bible talks so much about the blood, hallelujah, is because of what is in the blood. Huh? In the natural body, the scripture says that the life of my flesh is in that natural blood. Hallelujah. But when I am born again by virtue of the blood, I've received the blood of the Son. Hallelujah. And that blood has all in it, all the makeup, all the DNA and genes of Elohim. If it weren't true, I could never be one with Him. Hallelujah. If it weren't true, I would never have the opportunity or the means by which I might metamorphose from humanity to divinity. Hello? And in the plans and purposes of God, and from the very beginning, He desired to meld and merge not just the spiritual concept, but He wanted to bring together a natural position of recognition with the spiritual aspect that was invisible, and it would be manifested in the aspect of the humanity that would come forth out of that the Bible calls a man-child. Hallelujah. And that man-child is birthed, hallelujah, by virtue of the relationship of the bride with the Son, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. Do you deserve a witness, do you? Hallelujah. Well, I certainly hope so. I want to be talking to the right people. Hallelujah. And All of this was something of a designated plan, a designated position or thought that was being considered in the heavenlies prior to the foundations of the earth. Hallelujah. Because yesterday I addressed the problem, I believe, that was going on as far as the heavenly realm was concerned. Hallelujah. Now you have to remember, hallelujah, that there is no beginning with Elohim and there is no end. And yet, in the midst of eternity, I really probably should have drawn that all out there, but I wanted to save that side just in case. Hallelujah. But in the aspect of all of it, hallelujah, there was something that God had to create in order to deal with that problem. And the problem was, the Bible described it as darkness. So you had the problem of darkness. How are we going to deal with this problem? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we're not really told right out, right, what went on in that discussion. But if you read the Bible and you dig into it, and you go into the New Testament, you can begin to try, you can begin to see something of a glimpse and get something of an understanding. Not only that, but the Lord has said to us that in the end time, He's going to what? Reveal the mysteries of who and what Elohim is. Hallelujah. But not only is He going to reveal the mysteries of who and what Elohim is, He is also going to reveal the mystery of iniquity. Hallelujah. And you know, you really have to understand it. You really have to come to grips with it. You really have to possess it as your own position of knowledge if you really hope to overcome and to achieve the perspective. Hallelujah. That's the only reason why He would tell you. But it's not something that is laying on the surface. Hallelujah. It's not something that is say like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When you talk about the baptism of Christ into Christ, that is different than the baptism in water as unto Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's indicative of the process, but when you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into the position and into the position or the place of fullness, and you come to a place of semi-maturity that the Bible calls the man-child. They call it a man-child for a reason, by the way. It's a form and fashion and has a certain mentality and maturity, but it yet a child. It yet has to develop. It yet has to progress and grow. And I think that that's one of the reasons why the Bible talks about the 1,000-year millennial reign, where humanity will still be moving and having its position of relationship, at which time the devil will again be let loose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that that thousand year position of time is designated for that man-child to come to a position and to a place of maturity. Hallelujah. So that means that in that time frame, there are going to be certain experiences, certain revelations, certain uncovering, certain things that are going to be revealed, that are going to bring a greater knowledge, a greater extension of growth and expansion, and the knowledge that we have concerning it will increase. Hallelujah. And I would think, being the devil is bound, that everybody who is under this influence and under the rule of righteousness. Hallelujah. My goodness. We want to be under the rule of righteousness, right? Oh my God, you don't know what you're asking for. Hallelujah. The rule of righteousness in this aspect, in this time, in this frame, is that your thoughts are being monitored. Not just your actions, your thoughts are being monitored. Hallelujah. And they are being projected, as it were, on a screen somewhere, and somebody is reading those thoughts, and there is an action to bring correction to that line of thinking. Hello. And it isn't that rebellion is going to be dead. Hallelujah. The means that would want to manipulate it, that is the thing that is going to be held in check. Because you see, the devil is a master manipulator. The devil and his angels, master manipulator, master at deception, master at this, master at that. Everything that has to do with wickedness. and darkness. He manipulates the darkness to motivate you to get angry. He manipulates the darkness in order to get you to lie. He manipulates the darkness in order to get you to steal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I was recently involved in a situation with another individual. We were out buying some things and doing, getting some things there in Uganda. And the person I was with that were paying cash for the different things, and we had bought something. Hallelujah. And as we're walking out of the store, we get into the car, and the person is counting his money. And you need to do that in Uganda, by the way. He's counting his money, and he finds out that the person, the cashier, gave him too much. Now, it was really kind of an insignificant amount. And he said to me, I need to take this back and give it back. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of us would have had that thought. And I don't know, it's only a few cents, put it into my pocket and it'll be all right. Hallelujah. I might have been one of those who would have done that. Or I said, it's too much trouble. Hallelujah. Because it wasn't really out in the parking lot. It was, we were driving down the road, and to go back in Uganda takes a bit more time than it would here in the U.S. Hallelujah. And I was impressed with his integrity. Not only did he think it, he spoke it. Hello? Hallelujah. I was impressed with his integrity. Hallelujah. And I learned something about that person. So there is a rule of righteousness that is coming. Hallelujah. And you know, it depends on how, it really depends on how willingly it is that we receive correction. Hallelujah. Do we defend ourselves in that moment of correction, or in our minds, in our thinking? Hallelujah. Do we feel somehow justified in the aspect of it? Or do we really recognize it? If it really is a position of transgression or doing so, do we really recognize it and admit it at that point in time? Most of the time we go into a defensive mood. Hallelujah. Because our position of influence is not the DNA of God. It is the DNA of our natural position of birth. Hallelujah. But God had the Elohim wanted to deal with the issue of this darkness. Now, when the Bible talks about iniquity, hallelujah, the best way that I can describe iniquity to you is how the Lord showed it to me. And I am not a medical person. Medical persons, as you are, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But if they're trying to find a solution to a problem, like a disease problem or some other problem in the medical realm, they will have these little cultured discs. Huh? And they will put some sort of substance in that disc, right? And they will put something of what it is that they are dealing with in that disc, and they want to grow a culture, hallelujah, either to fabricate the thing or to work at getting an antibody that will work against that thing. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So that dish, hallelujah, as harmless as it is, but what is in it has the capability of producing something very deadly. If you are working with things that you want to kill. That dish has something in it that growing, constantly growing. And I suppose they have to put it in a certain place with a certain environment, and maybe the lighting is important, or maybe not so bright. I saw one time they had blue lights or something on it. Is that right? Hallelujah. Am I right so far? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the Bible talks about iniquity, it's talking about the darkness in your soul. The iniquity does not come from somewhere outside of you. Hallelujah. The something that is inside of you that is called the old man. The old nature. It is the basis of that cultural dish that is called humanity.
Hallelujah.
And the devil has access to it by virtue of who and what he is. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He's a deceiver.
Hallelujah.
So he has and the only way that he has any power is to the ability that he can manipulate that darkness to do or to be something other than with the aspect of what humanity was created to be. And you have two positions, two places, that two destinies as a human being. You only have two, by the way.
All right. Well, maybe this is a good one over here.
Because hell is also a place, or a place that that is called that is a realm in which humanity can abide. Satan is the orchestrator and the ruler of this position or this place that we call darkness or iniquity.
Hallelujah.
A good scripture for this one is Psalms. Somebody will have to find it. David said, I was what? But they say born in, shaped in iniquity. Does it say shaped? Huh? Shapen in iniquity. Are you sure? All right. Shapen in iniquity. Hallelujah. That's a good scripture for a description, isn't it? I was shapen in iniquity and what? Born in sin. There you go. Hallelujah. Now, I heard a preacher one day preaching, and he was saying in his preaching that because of that scripture, David was an illegitimate child. Come on, that's what they said. It was a big congregation of people. Hallelujah. And it just showed you the ignorance of the man, as well as the ignorance of the congregation that he was preaching it to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What David was saying is he had a revelation of the nature that was within him. We need his revelation, by the way, don't we, Brother Mark? Because you have to understand what it is, what and who is your enemy. Hallelujah. When mother and daughter get into a confrontation, daughter is wrong, mother is right, mother is wrong, daughter is right. Hallelujah. And the confrontation goes on. Or if a son and a father get into a conversation, and there is evidently no resolve unless you just choose to sweep the whole thing under the carpet. Let's just agree to disagree and we'll go on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, that works in some situations, but that does not work in the economy of the Father's plan and purpose. Hallelujah. So, there are two destinations, huh? And the destiny of let me back up. So God is eternal, no beginning, no end. We all agree with that. But we call him Alpha. Do we know what Alpha means? It means the beginning. Now, he called himself Alpha, by the way, in the Bible. He called himself Alpha. Hallelujah. But he didn't stop there. He said, I'm not only Alpha, I am Omega. What is Omega? So there is a beginning with an entity that has no beginning, and there is an end with an entity that has no ending. Oh my goodness, what's going on here? There must be a mistake in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's not the Bible that we are having a trouble with, it's our understanding. Hallelujah. You see, Elohim needs no time. He is timeless.
Hallelujah. He has no beginning. He is timeless. But in the aspect of the problem here, hallelujah. And I want to tell you that this aspect of iniquity or darkness does have a negative DNA that works contrary to righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I think in some responsibility, I think in some sense, God takes responsibility for it. Hello? Now you better listen to me. I think in some respect, God takes responsibility for it. Hallelujah. Because He is light. But by virtue of it being light, it creates darkness. Hallelujah. And the only way now that the Father can deal with that darkness is to get rid of it. Somehow deal with it. Why does He want to deal with it? Because I believe that He has some sort of future plans that we have no idea about. Because it says, it has not yet what? Entered the mind of man. That the Father has prepared for them who love Him. And now that aspect of preparation is somewhere beyond time. Hello? Because Alpha means the beginning of time. Hallelujah. Alpha. Hallelujah. Alpha. Hallelujah. Is the beginning. The beginning of time. By virtue of Him being Alpha, He in some respects becomes time. And my reasoning might be screwed up, I don't know. Huh? But He called Himself Alpha. He didn't say I Alpha as in the beginning of time. He says, I am.
Yes.
Well, He says, I am. What did He say I am? I am Alpha. Hallelujah. And He not only said, I am Alpha, but He also said that He was
Omega.
I'm going to make it very small. He said that I am Omega. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end of time. Hallelujah. So, in that respect, taking it in context, He is saying, I am time. I am time. Hello? And you know, I have this sense, and you don't have to agree with me, I have this sense that in some respect, it is as the womb. Huh? It is as the womb for the purpose of developing and creating an individual type of personality that is different from what it was, that from different in some respects from what He is. And yet has the potential. Because when it says that He breathed into man's nostril and the man became, oh, that word became. That word became is indicative of a process. It's not instantaneous, you understand. It's indicative of a process. Now, that man must have stood up, it probably was the first earthquake. Hallelujah. And not only did it shake the natural earth, and I believe it really did. You don't have to believe that way. But I really believe it did. But it shook heaven and it shook hell.
Hallelujah.
Because what He did, hallelujah,
was so unexpected, so peculiar, and so out of context with what he did with everything else. Hallelujah. And everything else that he did, he created for the specific purpose of the development of this now new creature. Hallelujah. And that new creature, hallelujah. Well, let me go back. That new creature was going to walk through from one generation to another generation, handing down, as it were, the baton of revelation and experiences, and developing that revelation and experiences into something that was very visible and very material and could be seen and felt and held. Hallelujah. Wasn't that what they said, what John said about him? Then he said, we have handled him. What else? He said some other things there. Let's get scripture. Let's make sure that I'm not giving you some fabric story, fabrication. There you go. Hallelujah. So the whole aspect of time is created not for the purpose of humanity to come and go from one generation to another generation, but the purpose of time is to develop and to develop the progenesis of God to come from human to man-child. Hallelujah. Not only from human to man-child, but from darkness to light. Totally, absolutely, completely. Hallelujah. And this entity was the solution that the Godhead came to that was going to fix the problem of the darkness. Hallelujah. So, in the fixing of the darkness, hallelujah, there is something in the mind of God from this point on. And what was that scripture? Jeremiah, it says, it has not entered into the heart of man. Oh, yes. What is that one? That which was from the beginning. Now, what beginning are we talking about? There's two beginnings. Huh? Hallelujah. There's two beginnings. The first beginning was at the foundations of the earth. Hallelujah. The second beginning was the beginning of time. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes.
Which we have heard, seen with our eyes.
Which we have looked upon.
Looked upon. Now, see with your eyes and looked upon are different types of things, really. Look up the words and see if you can't find a revelation there.
And our hands have handled.
Our hands have handled. They physically touched it.
Now, the other one is Isaiah 64.
All right. Which one was that?
I have not seen.
No, which one was yours?
First John.
How come they always run out on me? Always run out on me. I'm sorry, Mark. I borrowed yours. I have to buy you one now. First John. What is it? One? One? One. All right. He has seen, looked upon, handled. Huh? Hallelujah. All right. Next one.
Okay. It's Isaiah 64:4, but I'm going to read it.
Isaiah.
Well, it's in 1 Corinthians.
Just give me the main verse and you can read wherever you want to.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 2.
1 Corinthians
2, verse 9.
Verse 9.
But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
He's quoting the Old Testament.
He's quoting Isaiah 64:4.
So we have Isaiah 54, what?
64.
Huh?
66.
Isaiah what?
Isaiah
64. Oh, 64. Isaiah 64. And the verse?
Four.
Number 4?
Yes, sir.
That's 10 and 4. That's tribulation, by the way. Hallelujah. So there is a point here that God says, there is yet something to be accomplished. There is yet something that I want to do, but I'm holding it in a place of secret. But if you want to know what it is, you have to dig for it. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Ann. Are you just waiting to get into heaven? I think so. Is that what we're waiting to do, just to get into heaven? And we can just go out here and do all of these other things and do this, and we have 1 hour of prayer, 5 minutes of this, 5 minutes of that. We come to service, we go home, we go out to eat, we go bowling, we do this, we do that, go this and do that. Then we come back home and maybe read our Bible a little bit, and then we go to sleep. Yes. Oh, yes. All right. There's a word about, where is that?
Hebrews 6.
Verse 5. Says, we have tasted. Hallelujah. And 2 Corinthians 2:9, right? Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 2:9.
Yeah, all right. Hallelujah. So there is some thought in God's mind concerning us at the end of time. But it seems like you and I have to be conformed to a certain image if we want to participate and be a part of that company. Hello? And in all of that, we know that conformity has to be complete. It cannot be partial. It says, I would to God that I could present you what? Blameless. That means no darkness. That means no ulterior motives. Means no position or place of subterfuge or deception. Hallelujah. But what you see is what you get. Hallelujah. So, but in order for that to happen, God has to deal with this. Hallelujah. And if he wants to deal with this, hallelujah, he knows if he deals with this, he will deal with the devil. Quite frankly, the devil is not very important in the economy of God as far as he is concerned. It's the darkness that he wants to deal with. And he allows humanity to become darkness so that that darkness could be encapsulated, condensed down. Did you know he condensed down the darkness? Hallelujah. In the beginning, it was darkness was over the whole earth. And what happened? Hallelujah. Light came, divided the light from the darkness. It means that the darkness now was being condensed. It was being put down into a position of lesser power, lesser strength, because he established a position of authority that he has called light. Huh? This is the light. That light is what? Every man that cometh into the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It also says that the light shone itself into the darkness, and that the darkness could not apprehend it or comprehend it. That means it could not hold it. It could not stop it. It could not keep it from coming and manifesting itself. But the virtue of that light is of little value to you and I unless we decide to let it shine in us. Hallelujah. I have to acquiesce my will to the light. And the acquiescence of that will is the thing that brings my conformity in line with His plan. So you hold the key, dear. You hold the key. It's not the devil. It's not really even the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will empower you. The Holy Spirit will give you the ability and the strength to do what you need to do. But you have to acquiesce your position of control over the circumstance. Hallelujah. 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 And you know it's difficult. It's difficult. Hallelujah. When my children were growing up, they came to a point to where I had to release my position of parental authority over them. Hallelujah. Now that doesn't mean that I would not give them counsel or that I would not speak my mind concerning something, but in that respect, that's all I could do. They had to make their own decisions as to what they were going to do, whether they were right or whether they're wrong. And if they were wrong, I could ask them not to make that decision, but that decision was still theirs to make. Hallelujah. And I had to release the position of my parental authority in that respect and say, well, you're of age now. You can make the decision that you want to make. If the decision is right, I said, then I think you're making the right decision. Or I can say, I think you're making the wrong decision. But that's all I could do. Except go and pray. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, there is a point where the acquisition of God's authority is as a parental prerogative, where He comes to the point where He says, all right, hallelujah, it is now your decision to make. And God will step back from that situation and allow you to make the decision you want to make, whether it's right or wrong. Because that is the position of authority that He gave you by via Adam and Eve in the beginning. Hallelujah. And that position of authority, which is called ousousia, hallelujah, hallelujah, has the power to begin to mold and to make two destinies. Hallelujah. The first destiny and the one destiny that God wants. Hallelujah. The first destiny that God wants is a son. Of the Father. Hallelujah. He wants the son of the Father. Hallelujah. He said of Jesus, when He came up out of the water, He said, behold, this is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. This is the first destiny that God wants. And this is the destiny, I should put it over here. He wants a son. And this is the ending that God wants. He wants a son. Hallelujah. A son of righteousness. Let me put it that way, if I may. A son of righteousness. Hallelujah. That is the destiny that He has prescribed for every believer. Oh, this doesn't write very well. This is the destiny that He has ascribed to every believer who believes upon the blood of Jesus Christ and who is converted. Hello? Hallelujah. That is the destiny that is talking about in Romans when it says we are preordained Romans 8. Would you find it for me, please? I think it's Romans 8. Maybe it's Romans 7. Huh? 8. Hallelujah. Romans 8. I'm looking for it. All right. Just a minute. Death. 10.
Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Romans what?
8:29. To be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn.
Yes.
Among many brethren.
Now that's important because it's saying we are to be conformed to be a son, but not just any son. We are conformed to be a son, but not just any son. We are to be conformed to be a son of the firstborn.
The image of his son.
Huh?
It says to the image of his son.
In the image of his son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 29. So, this is the first position or the first destiny that God says, this is the place that I want you to be. And this is the reason why I have created you. This is the reason why I have birthed you. Hallelujah. The second place of destiny is, right? The son of perdition. Does anybody have a dictionary or a concordance that can give me a definition of perdition? Perdition? The son of perdition is not just a single entity, a single personality. The son of perdition is a multiplicity of people forming a body on which Satan wants to be head. Hallelujah. You see what Satan is doing, hallelujah, is he's duplicating.
1828. Entire loss or ruin, utter destruction as the perdition of the Turkish fleet. The utter loss of the soul or final happiness in a future state, future misery, or internal death, eternal death.
Hallelujah. You all ought to look it up and put it in your notes, by the way. Because when you are born in the natural arena, when you are born in the natural arena as a human being, you are born in darkness. The nature of darkness is inside of your soul. You are predestined to be a son of perdition by virtue of Romans 5. Yes.
Utter destruction.
Yes. That is what you are, you and I are preordained and destined to be by virtue of our natural birth. Whether it is as a American, German, African, European, hallelujah. No matter where you're born in the world, naturally, position, place, hallelujah. You are born with a predestinated destiny. The devil wants you to make you part of that son of perdition. It's not just one individual. Hallelujah. Now, the nature of the perditious son is anti-Christ. Now, Antichrist doesn't mean something that is just in opposition. Hallelujah. Something that is just in opposition to God. It means another Christ. Did you hear me? But the Christ is the Christ of perdition. And I don't like calling it Christ, but I don't know how else that we can understand the relativeness of what it is. That's how you and I are in our natural position, our natural place of relationship. False Christ. But really, yes, false Christ. It is a false Christ. But I don't know if it really brings home the thought that I am Antichrist. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Mark, for your sake. Equals false Christ.
Well, he's also against the true Christ.
I'm sorry? I'll give you false Christ, all right? Hallelujah. False Christ. Hallelujah. Now, what we are talking about is the mystery of God and the mystery of iniquity. Hallelujah. That's what we are talking about. God wants us to know the mechanics of it in order for us to be able to know what it is that we are participating in. Now, how do we define all of this, this aspect, how do we define it in a term that we can very well understand? Hallelujah. It's a very simple word, and it means world. Or cosmos. Hallelujah. The Bible calls the devil the prince, the power of the air. That means everything that breathes in an environment that is there, it is that requires air. He is over that environment and he's prince of it. Now, why does it talk about the power of the air? What power of the air? Because without air, you cannot live. You breathe it. Hallelujah. Take a deep breath. Hallelujah. And in the same sense, we are being inundated and we are inhaling everything around us that pertains to that environment. And it becomes the source of our lifestyle. Hallelujah. Romans 8 says, it says that friendship with the world, is it John? Are you sure? Can you find it for me, please? And I want you to understand, you know, we live in a world, we enjoy the comforts of it, and I'm not telling you you can't have those comforts, I'm telling you, if what you are doing is interfering with the process of development, hallelujah, of the nature of Christ within you, hallelujah, that thing is detrimental to your spiritual health. And you need to do something about it. And you know, I'm just as guilty as you are. So I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. Hallelujah. Big time. Hallelujah. I want that scripture. That is Bible study time. I'm hanging on. I'm hanging. Do Google. Anybody got Google? Go Google. Google is the best concordance you can have. Google is the best concordance. The what? Well, that's a good one, too. But which one? What's that? All right, there's two scriptures. No, I want carnal, too. James 4. All right. James. Where do I... James. 4:4. And it talks what?
Well, do you want this...
Friendship. That is friendship.
Do you want the scripture read, or do you...
Just a minute. Friendship with world is what?
Enmity.
All right, what does enmity mean? What does enmity mean?
Enemy.
Did it say an enemy or enmity?
It says both.
I'm sorry?
It says,
so what does that mean?
It means hostility.
Hostility? That's a, come on. Oh, come on. Reason of opposition, hatred. What is hatred?
Murder.
It's murder. It's a murderous spirit. Now, that is friendship with the world. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't be in the world. But, and working and doing what is necessary to live and whatnot. But that aspect, that position of friendship. Friendship is something that you hold dear, something that is somewhat precious to you, somewhat valuable to you. Hello? Hallelujah. And something that will cause you not to do the right thing in certain situations. I have seen people forsake truth because of friendship. I'm sorry?
You know what's interesting about the word enmity or
enemy? Wait a minute, wait for that. Scoot.
What's interesting
about the word enmity, which is basically enemy, is it can be overt or covert. I mean, it can be concealed.
Is
so you can
covert
have...
Covert means deceptive.
But I mean, it can be hidden. We can have hidden enemies all about us and not even
sure
know it.
Absolutely. And anything and everything in that environment can be utilized against you to solidify your position of allegiance to it. Hallelujah. All right. The other one, which one was... which one? It was carnal.
Carnal is Romans 8.
What's that? Romans 8, that's the one I was really thinking about. Romans 8,
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God.
So that word enmity is again. Now, does anyone know what carnal means? Do you know that the word carnal is only used to refer to Christians? It's not used to describe a sinner. They're sinners. Hallelujah. Carnal is always something that pertains to someone that is Christian. Paul wrote to one of the churches and says, ye are what? Ye are carnal. Why? They were mixing the gospel with the world. And they were using the gospel as a means to excuse their position of transgression and utilizing the world's accoutrements and the pleasures of it for their own advantage. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that doesn't mean if you have a favorite pillow you have to throw it out. Hallelujah. Or if you have a favorite food that you have to throw it out. What it means is that whatever you are participating in, if it hinders or inhibits you from being a son, hallelujah, and it is something that you cannot do without. You know, some of us are savers, some of us are throwawayers. Hallelujah.
One of the definitions for carnal?
Yes.
is under the control of the animal appetite.
Woo! I like that one. Where'd you get that? Huh?
Strong's
Concordance. That's not my definition. Isn't that good? Now, we're talking about the world that you and I live in. We're talking about the environment that we have. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I first went to Ethiopia, hallelujah, and we were establishing the NGO there, the RBW NGO, there was a brother there that we came to know and to love and to work with. Hallelujah. But when we first met him, he lived in a house, him and his wife. We lived in a house, I would say that was probably 7 feet by 7 feet at the most. Maybe 8 feet by 8 feet at the most. Maybe a little bigger, one way or the other. Hallelujah. It was a mud hut. It was a hut with straw and mud over it. Hallelujah. It had a thatch roof on top of it. There was a bed on one end of the house. There was a pole of some sort, looked like wood or something, that was stuck in the hole in the wall on one side and stuck in the hole on the other side. It was mudded around so the water couldn't come in. Hallelujah. And they hung their clothes on that, the clothes they had to hang on it. Hallelujah. And the bed was under that, and they had a daughter, and the daughter was also sleeping in that little room with them somehow, some way, I don't know. They had no indoor plumbing. They had no indoor kitchen. They had a little hibachi on which they would cook their food. And the man and his wife were completely content and absolutely happy. Hallelujah. And I have to say that these were Christian people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know, maybe they wanted something better, but they were content with what they had. And he was very much involved in the work of the gospel. He was very much involved in the things that pertain to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By comparison, and I'm not condemning us for what we have, hallelujah, but I think that we need to consider what it is we have and what it is that we can do without by virtue of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Not by inclination and because I'm telling you, but by virtue of the word of the Lord. Hello? Hallelujah. Because there is something that God created you for. There is something that God created time for. And that time frame is running out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That time frame is running out. So here we are. God is wanting a destiny of sons of righteousness. And you could just as well say, man, child. That is what God is working toward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So God had a problem. God had a problem, and he wanted to deal with that problem. So they had a council in heaven. Now, I've given you some of the mechanics, and I want to go back to some of the mechanics that were working in order for this plan to come into being. Hallelujah. They had a council in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They had a council in heaven. You know, one of the things I hate about these electronic things is they do these curious things like shutting off or changing or doing something. Or they just sit there and this little circle goes like this. And I'm sitting there waiting for the revelation. So, in Genesis 1, verse 26, he says, let us. It says, and Elohim said. It says, Elohim said. I'll let you guys look up the verse. That's your participation. That's easier. It says, Elohim said, let us.
Amen.
Let us. Now, there was a division of responsibility. Do you understand? They just didn't sit down at a table and just determine this is what we're going to do. They seemingly were working out the whole scheme of the thing. Hallelujah. And it's the first place in the Bible where it refers to the entity as a singular component. You don't say us unless you're dealing with multiple components. Huh? Hallelujah. And it says us for a particular reason. Hallelujah. And it's a repetitive statement, by the way, because Elohim in the Hebrew means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One entity combined together in one. But now he said, let us. Hallelujah. So what was going on? They were looking at the problem, and I'm using natural terms so that we might grasp or understand. They were looking at this problem. This is the problem. They're looking at this problem, and they're sitting down, and they're looking at it and discussing it and thinking about it and meditating on it, because they know that there is something that they want to do here. And now, how are they going to do it? And what is it going to take to do it? And for some reason, which is still escaping me, and I'm asking God about it, for one reason, it was determined that God needed this entity of man to be involved in it. So that means that man became a critical part of the plan, not for the time frame of time as we know it, but for the time frame that comes afterwards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God is not looking just at time. He's looking beyond time. He's looking into the eternal aspect of His environment, and what it is in that environment He wants to accomplish. God is a creative being. He doesn't stop creating. Hello? We are creative beings because we're made after that aspect of His being. We are of the same kind. By virtue of the breath that was breathed into Adam. Hallelujah. And that is the reason why a man who is not saved can be a creator of buildings, a creator of cars, a creator of materials, a creator of drugs, a creator of medicines, a creator of architecture, whatever the case may be. That's why you have skills as a magician. That's why you have skills as a mechanic. Why? Because in you is the ability to create music. In you is the ability to create mechanical things that work. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My sons are very creative in what they do, and what they create things, and it amazes me. Hallelujah. The ability they have to create a simple thing like a manufactured in the garage drawer latch. Hallelujah. That doesn't look like it's bought in the store, but it looks very functional and it doesn't look crude. You understand what I mean? And it works very well. Hallelujah. How did he do that? Huh? Because something in him, the DNA that is in him, in the thing that and the means by which he was created in the beginning with Adam, it has that capability, that potentiality within him to do it. And when he gets born again, it's enhanced. It becomes something that is much more real, much more vital, much more refined and defined. Hallelujah. Loose. Hallelujah. So God is continually creating. He's not going to stop at the end of 7,000 years. But there is something at the end of 10,000 years that He wants to do that He needs you and me. Hallelujah. God once showed me a picture. Hallelujah. God once showed me a picture. Boy, do I share it. Oh, boy. And it was like God the Father how did he show it? Let me see. I'm trying to remember. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, the division of this is just to show the entities in separate. There is, there were three, boy, I need my diagram, but it's in my Bible. There are three aspects, there are three archangels. There was Michael, there was Michael, who else?
Gabriel,
and Heliel. I'm not sure how you spell Heliel. H-E?
Y-L-E-L.
Hallelujah. There were Michael, Gabriel, and Heliel. Michael was the warrior. And they don't necessarily are placed in those particular places, you understand. But they were something of a layer between the rest of the realm of heaven and God the Father. Hallelujah. Or Elohim. Hallelujah. Gabriel was the warrior. Michael was the warrior. Gabriel was the messenger. And Heliel was the praise orchestrator. Hallelujah. Well, when Heliel fell, hallelujah. And I suppose we should understand, we would have a better understanding of it if we understood the position or the place that Heliel had and what was his responsibility. But he was the praise, he was the heavenly choir director. Right? It says that his pipes were formed in him in Isaiah or Ezekiel. He was the praise, but he fell out of his place. Hallelujah. And I was reading the scripture one day, and I was thinking about this configuration, and I came across the scripture that says what? God inhabits the praises of who? God inhabits the praises of his people. His people. Hallelujah. And so that developed the thought that, you know, in some manner, some way, it seems like God is filling the vacancy. Now, all of this is based on John chapter 17, somewhere around 20, 21 to 22, I don't know, as well as Genesis 1:26, when he talks about likeness. Hallelujah. And when he said, let us make man, hello, make him in a peculiar way, in a peculiar manner, and that peculiar manner and that peculiar way was going to be like him. Look the word up in the Hebrew. It means to be same as, to be like. Hallelujah. No variation, no differentiation. Hallelujah. But the same as. And he said, let us. Now, I was reading John chapter 17. I want to go there for a moment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think I'm wearing you out. Praise God. Come on. Alright, I want to start. Hallelujah. I want to start at verse 16. It is that he was talking to his disciples as well as us. Now remember, he is praying prophetically, by the way. He's not just saying a prayer, he's praying prophetically. He's saying, I am praying for these, and I'm also praying for those that are going to believe on me through their word. Now it wasn't his word, it was their word. Why? Because his word became their word. And their word is to become our word. Hallelujah. I don't pray, for their sake, I sanctify myself, verse 19, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as Father, as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, that they may be one in who? Who are they going to be one with? What does that mean? Is there a division or separation between us and him and them? Is there a division? Is there a division or separation? You're afraid to answer me? And I'm not usurping the position of God, the Father, you understand. I'm not usurping that position. But if I am to be a part of the body, as a part of the body, I'm attached to the head. So which part of the head or the body is distinguishable? If I just saw Brother Craig walking around here with no head, hallelujah. Or if I just saw his head floating through the air. Hallelujah. When I see him come from the body, see, I see his head, I see his body, I said, there's Brother Craig. Hello, Brother Craig. Come on. Hello. Hallelujah. Without the head, there is no body. But without the body, there is no head. It has no reason to exist. And it was orchestrated that way, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Did you hear me? He, by decree of his own omni-knowledge, determined that this is what he wanted to do. He could have done it any other way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But for some reason, unbeknownst to us, except for that those things that have not yet entered our mind, he determined, this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to handle it, and I want them to be a part of it, and I want them to be a part of us. So we're going to be involved, not just in the mechanics of it, we're going to be involved in the beginning of whatever it is he is creating, because we're going to be one. Do you understand? It's not just going to heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. It's getting the heaven of the Father inside of us. Yes. And if you're worried about a position of Robin preeminence, at the end of the day, the Son turns everything over to the Father. Yes. And when we come to that point, when we come to that place, we will have achieved the means by which to destroy darkness. Hallelujah.
And as far as the heavenly is concerned, darkness will be no more. We'll no longer have the ability to destroy or to contaminate the works of God. Hallelujah. And he will be free and loose to do whatever it is he wants to do. Loose them, loose them, loose them, loose them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren. Hallelujah. God is working, 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 working. And he's long suffering with us, and he's pushing us, and he's doing whatever he possibly can to get us to make the right decision. Are we going to be distracted by this realm? Yes, probably. Hallelujah. He's going to use your emotions. He's going to use your desires. He's going to use your affiliations, your positions, your places of natural affection. Yes. To undermine and to thwart and to destroy. You know what the devil opinion is of you and me? Do you know? Easily diverted, easily subverted. Subverted from what? Accomplishing the plan and the purpose. Hallelujah. And you know what the motivation of Satan is? Huh? You know what it is? Self-preservation. Did you hear me? Self-preservation. One of the strongest things that you and I have is self-preservation. You might be surprised what you might do in a situation or circumstances that determines whether you live or die, and you're with in whatever circumstance. You might be surprised what you would do, and you wouldn't do it under normal circumstances. Because there is a judgment on Satan. There's a judgment on Satan. And he knows that judgment is final unless he can beat it. You see, the Satan has a motive. Satan has a motive for doing. He's not just doing it at random. He has a motive. He has a desire to maintain his position of let me say living or life. He does not want to be condemned to darkness into a position that of captivity. He wants the liberty. He wants to be free to do his dirty deeds. Hallelujah. So he's fighting for his own life, and he's using me and you and expending us in order to do it. And we have the power to stop him. It says, despise not the day of small beginnings. That means whatever little bitty, 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 bitty bit that you and I can do in our own personal circumstances works diametrically in opposition to his plan and purpose, Satan's. I hope we take it to heart. I hope I take it to heart. I hope we do. And I hope we begin to work with the Lord concerning our position, our place of life and living, to make it consecrated. Jesus said, I have sanctified myself for their sake. We want everybody else to be sanctified for our sake. But he says, I sanctify myself for their sake. His sanctification was not just for him. It was for us. He suffered for us. Paul suffered for us. Peter suffered for us. They died for us. Hallelujah. Are you willing to die for someone else? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I'll let you pick the blue you want. God bless you.